When I'm going through a trial, when I'm going through things in my life, the place to hide is in the Word, to spend time with Him. Reading the Word of God, praying, sitting, and waiting upon God to speak to my heart so that when He does speak to me, I have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church, to you, to me.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Well, it's an exciting day as we kick off a new series exploring the life-changing power of forgiveness. If you're burdened by regret over poor decisions and sinful mistakes, Raul will assure you that God's grace is greater than anything in your past. When you repent, you can experience mercy and redemption just like King David did, an imperfect man who still enjoyed close communion with God. Here's Raul Reese with our lesson, The Blessedness of Forgiveness.
Well, if you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 32 this afternoon. And one thing that I wrote down here, the Jewish people still today, they are on the Day of Atonement. They come to the place where they quote Psalm 32. Remember that, Psalm 32. Because it speaks about atonement. Jesus Christ came and atoned, notice, for us as He gave His life. Fully, completely. In the Psalm, David testifying here of the blessings and the confessing of sin and receiving the forgiveness of God in my life. I like that. The forgiveness in my life. Where David had committed adultery, he had murdered, and then a deception that came into his life. But David wanted to come to make things right at this particular moment. The problem happens when we don't really turn to Him, but we continue to turn to the world, to turn to sin, that all of a sudden you feel like God has abandoned you. Is that what David felt? One whole year without the voice of God. One whole year. I don't know how God is speaking to you, but the psalmist writes here, this is David writing, you know, concerning his experiences, what he did. But now he's ready. Now he's ready to come back. And so the psalm that is written here is David speaking, but then God turns in and God begins to speak to David as David is getting ready to submit. He's not trying to hide his sin any longer. You can't hide your sin and expect God to use you or to bless you. It's an impossibility. When you try to hide your sin, God will deal with you in such a way, remember, to bring you to repentance in Hebrews chapter 12, that He'll spank you because you're a believer and He loves you and He cares for you. And when He spanks us, we got to make sure that we understand the reason He's spanking you is because He wants a full fellowship with you and with me. He doesn't want you to do the things that you shouldn't be doing. I wrote down, he says, if you are a real Christian, He will speak to you. If you're not really playing with your flesh, then God can do it. God can use your life. He can use your life. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit of God, grieves it. As you read the Psalms, you know, you'll have Psalm 32 and 51. These are confessional giants of sin, how God forgives. But then there are other Beatitude Psalms, like Psalm 38, chapter 40, 65, 84, 94, 112. These Psalms that I just gave to you, these are Psalms concerning forgiveness, repentance that are given to us by the Lord. And the way He starts out with these Beatitudes that He gives us in the Sermon on the Mount, remember, blessed is he, happy is he. When he starts here in verse 1, he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Oh, how happy is he whose transgression is forgiven. The word that he's using here, transgression, is the word crossing over the line. You're going over the line. When you sin in ignorance, no problem. You pray, you confess your sin, but when there's transgression going on in my life, I got to stand back and say, am I really repenting? Because if I'm not, then has to deal with me in a different way. Transgression is a willful action. A willful action. It's disobedience of my life to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Disobedience. And here when David is writing, oh, how happy is those who transgress. He says, is forgiven. Our transgressions are forgiven if we truly repent. If we truly repent. But if you're not going to repent, and whenever you come here to the church, you come through those doors, I would ask the question, how have you lived your life this last week? What have you done? Because people sometimes come to church just to sit and hear a message, but not live according to the message. There has to be a change of heart and attitude. But as he said, oh, how happy is he whose transgression is forgiven. Then he says, whose sin is covered. How does it cover? It is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's when the Old Testament, they would kill a lamb. They would take the blood and sprinkle the blood on the altar. That would be a time where the blood of the lamb would be sprinkled. But here in the New Testament, we speak of forgiveness. The sin that is covered through Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And the word that is used here for forgiven is to bear, to lift up, or to carry away that is used. So forgiven means to bear or to carry away the sin that is in my life, to cover by the blood of Jesus Christ. I can feel delivered, free. The problem is when Satan comes along and begins to beat up on you. That's the problem. That we have the power in the name of Jesus without screaming, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke thee, Satan. Verse 2, the second time, oh, how happy. Oh, how happy is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. You notice in verse 2 when he says, blessed is the man, that's speaking of David himself. He's saying, he says, I am blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Where it says the man, put your name on there. Blessed is Raul, to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. See? No deceit. When you think of what the Lord has done, what he's doing in your life. When he says no deceit, the person who is not a hypocrite. Not a hypocrite. But pretending not only to have the grace and the knowledge of God and his blood covering for my sin, how can I pretend to be a Christian? David is declaring. David is saying, for a whole year, I haven't been in contact with God, but I've lived my own life by transgressing. I know what I did, but I have not gone to God. Maybe you're here today. Man, there's nothing like having Christ in your life. Nothing like it. The things you go through in your life, you kind of come to the Lord and say, Lord, why are these things going on in my life? That if it's for me, who can be against me? To recognize that Jesus died for my sins on the cross. And when I came to Jesus Christ, the cross was the full factor in my life that made me to come to know him intimately. How about you today? How did the Lord touch your life? What is he doing in your life today? David needed God's help. It's interesting because in verse 3 to 5, we have now pain. David describes his agony before he confesses his sins. When you live a life of sin, there is pain. There's pain. Because you don't have the peace of God. God is trying to get your attention to know him. He's been spanking you. And you as a child of God, now repenting of your sins, you feel like you're dying. You feel like you're going through all these things. And what happens? Listen to verse 3. He says, and I kept silent. I couldn't say anything. Silence. I couldn't speak. And then my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. The cries of anguish, distress in my life. When I held on to my sin, my strength failed. And it was an exhortation to me to continue to repent before the Lord. I kept silent. My bones grew old. Through my groaning all day long, distress, anguish, I needed to confess my sin. I needed to repent. And that can happen to any one of us here today. Verse 4, he says, the day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. He was miserable, no peace, you know, in his life, only depression. I don't know if you've ever been depressed. I've never been depressed in my life, but I've dealt with people that were depressed. It hurts. It's so sad to see people in depression. You don't know if they're actually thinking of committing suicide, which a lot of people do. But when you're depressed, you encourage yourself in the Lord. When somebody prays or they love you, they care for you, and they're going to help you because of what they see that you're happening in your own personal life. David understands. For the day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer, Selah, pausing here. That day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. God was doing what? God was trying to chase him to get him back where he's supposed to be. Referring here, notice, to the guilt of the conscience. When you sin, what happens? You begin to think everything that's happened in your life, what is going through my mind at this particular moment, and why have I done that? When I should have obeyed the kingdom of God. I should have obeyed the Lord. And then he says this. The word vitality here means juice or sap of the tree, the sap of a tree. He says the vitality was turned into a drought of summer. A drought. I don't see anything anymore. In the summertime, there's no more rain, but drought. But the Lord wants to not only be with us in the summer all the time. He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit. He wants the blood of Jesus Christ to cover your sin, wipe it all out.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to access our full range of faith-building resources. You can also join Raul for a personal response to your Bible questions and prayer requests. His direct address is Pastor Raul at SomebodyLovesYou.com. Let's continue with the conclusion of our study, the blessedness of forgiveness.
And when I read verse 5, the full confession, that he says, I acknowledge my sin to you. You have to acknowledge it. Nobody else can do that. I acknowledge, Lord, I have sinned against you. Lord, I deserve hell, but because you allow me to be in forgiveness of my life, you give me peace. Forgiveness and peace in our lives, every one of us here. We make a full confession. I acknowledge. Maybe today, before you leave here, make a full acknowledgement of your sin. My iniquity, I have not hidden. You're not hiding. He hid it for a whole year. David says, here's my sin. I went and did this, and now I want to confess it. And Lord, I want you to forgive me for my sin. I confess my transgression. I willfully did it. And Lord, forgive me. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. The word Selah there means to pause. I'm reading verse 5 from verse 1 to 5. All of a sudden, I've read, I'm studying it. And now the Lord says, pause. What have you learned from this? What am I speaking to you about? And David was asking God, God, I need your help. Forgive me for what I've done. Immediately, you forgave the forgiveness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The condition of our hearts, very important. The change of life, the change of heart. Recognizing what Christ has done for each one of us individually. And through that now, verse 6 and 7, he now has the counsel given. He says, for this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. David is realizing now that if I repent of my sin and I ask God to be before me, that everything that I do, he's going to forgive me because of what I've done, not any longer. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. Godly. How do you become godly? By repenting, yes. But you become godly by recognizing that the only one that can do that for you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are converted already should be what? Should have forgiveness of their sins. That's you and me. But the reference here is to that state of mind. That state of mind that as God is brainwashing me through his word, like David, that I can come and say, Lord, forgive me. He said, I did it willfully. And Lord, now I ask you to please forgive me for what I've done. The calamity. He says the waters that are flooding at a time of judgment. When he says that, a great waters. He will secure you safe. He will forgive you. And he'll use your life because he loves you tremendously. He says, you're my child, or you're my hiding place. The expression, David, you're my hiding place. He said, you shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance, Selah, another time to pause and to say, Lord, what do you mean by this when you're saying to my life, you are my hiding place? Where else can I hide? When I'm going through a trial, when I'm going through things in my life, the place to hide is in the Lord, to spend time with him, reading the word of God, praying, sitting, and waiting upon God to speak to my heart so that when he does speak to me, I have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church, to you, to me. When he uses that word, deliverance is salvation. Selah, pause. Then he comes to verse 8 through 11, the commission given. He says, I will instruct you. This is now God speaking to David. I will instruct you, David, and teach you in the way you should go. So now you're back with me. Now you can come back, and I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to teach you where you should go and what you should do. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Amazing. I will guide you with my eye. The love of God watching us and leading us. You know, we don't get ahead of ourselves. We allow him to get ahead of ourselves so that he can lead me and guide me and he can provide whatever he's going to do in my life. Guiding. Living the life of Christ. I will guide you with my eyes. God sees everything. He hears everything. And when he guides you and he guides me, what a blessing that is. That people will recognize there's something different about your life. That you're being led by the Holy Spirit. And then he says in verse 9, do not be like the horse or the mule. If I'm going to go right, I got to pull on a strut. And what happens is painful. So he turns. And if go the other way, he turns. If I pull back because of the strap that's in his mouth, it hurts him. But then at the same time, the mule is very stubborn. So hear what God is saying. He's speaking to David. Don't be stubborn like the horse and the mule. That's something that we all need to hear. Stubbornness. He says, don't be stubborn. Because what does he do? He says, we're not like the horse or the mule. We have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, or else I will not come near you. He says, you either change or you don't change. Well, I have to tell you that I can work in your life. Well, that brings me to something else. Jonah. Jonah was running away from God. He didn't want to be led by God. So he got in a boat, started going towards Spain. And while he was on that boat, the Lord saw his life. So what does he do? He creates a storm, the winds, the waves, all these things. And Job is downstairs sleeping, laying down. And then the people upstairs come down and say, hey, don't you care we're perishing? And Job says, and this is important, Job says, the reason we're perishing is because of me. I have sinned against God. He says, but if you take me and you throw me overboard, everything will come to peace. So they take him, they throw him overboard, and God hasn't given up on him because he hasn't repented. He thought, if they throw me overboard, I'm going to drown, and that's the end of that. But the moment they took him and cast him over, there was a fish that God had made so the fish could eat Jonah. Think about that. To swallow him, to end up in the belly of the whale, and there for what, 3 days? The grace of God is so important, and David is going to experience the grace of God in his life. Not like the mule, not like the horse. But he's going to come to verse 10. He says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. God's protection in our lives. The pain, protection. Many sorrows or pain shall be to the wicked because they don't repent. They're going to have to go through so many things. But you and me who trust in the Lord, mercy shall surround us. Mercy. The mercy given to us in verse 10. He says, but he who puts his faith in the Lord, faith in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. And the reason is because he loves you. He loves me and he loves you. Rejoicing. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Be glad. Rejoice, rejoice. He says, you're righteous. By faith we receive righteousness. And shout for joy, all of you, upright in heart. Be glad. Rejoice, you righteous ones. And shout for joy, all you right of heart. That's what God desires. I mean, God loves you so much. He has a great, great work for your life, for your family, your friends. But they got to see your life. Totally surrender to Christ and obeying the word of God. And as you obey the word of God, God will be in you and he'll be for your life completely and fully, as he says. A.W. Tozer said, forgiveness of sins of the past and solid hope for the future, our Christ. Provision for the present is ours, as well as a proclamation of the whole will of God. That will mean dealing with areas of life we have long tolerated, but which displeases God. Charles Spurgeon said, God does not permit his children to sin successfully. God will not allow you to sin successfully. Father, I pray in your name. Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to be with us, Jesus. Lord, how I thank you so much for these people, Lord, your people. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we worship you. Jesus, we ask today, Lord, to continue to lead, to guide, to provide for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
We hope it's encouraging to hear that God extends his grace to everyone, and when you come to him in genuine repentance, he'll lift the weight of guilt that you've been carrying. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson was titled The Blessedness of Forgiveness. If you'd like to get an unedited version, we'll be glad to send it to you for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165. We'd also like to offer you a 5-message collection from Raul's Forgiveness series. Available on both CD and thumb drive, this resource will further build your confidence in God's desire and ability to wipe your slate clean. As you discover how the Lord can bring healing and restoration to your life, you'll also get a challenge to show God's kindness to those who've wronged you. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Raul's 5-lesson study of forgiveness. We'll send you the CD set for $20 or the USB for just $7. That's 800-634-9165. You can also order by writing us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Join Rolf for Straight Talk every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel. This channel also features live-streamed Bible teaching and podcasts of past programs. Or you can look for our podcast on iTunes and Spotify. To keep God's Word at your fingertips 24/7, download our app at somebodylovesyou.com. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate your partnership. Your gifts enable us to keep sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus. Next time, we'll continue this forgiveness series by zeroing in on the freedom that comes from letting go of grudges and hurt, extending the same mercy to others that God has so generously given to us. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.